Everything art. Everything cultural. The cultural thing. The cultural thing.
Okay, I'm here with Sarah Blood in her studio at Mushroom Works, and I'm here to interview you because you work in a very unusual medium. Do you want to explain a little bit about the artist work that you do?
Well, I make sculpture primarily from neon, which, like, commercially developed neon for signwriting and stuff, but I use it in a different application with mixed media such as concrete and ceramics and wood to create largely geometric-based abstract sculpture.
How did you get involved with neon? Because it's not the most obvious of mediums to use.
No, my background is in glass. So I went to Sunderland University and did the glass and ceramics degree, but have always, always loved neon, even from a small child. As I was self-employed and my work developed and progressed, I started to actively seek out training to learn how to make neon. And that journey took me to Turkey and to America and eventually back to the UK.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the process about neon, but first, what is the fascination with neon?
Well, I think human beings are fascinated by light anyway. Right. We're all drawn to it. Well, I think everything living is drawn to light. I was really attracted by the noise. There's a static kind of noise with neon and like a buzzing, and sometimes it flickers, and I really liked it when it flickered. So yeah, it took me quite a few years to find someone who would teach me how to make neon. And within half an hour, they told me that if it's blinking and buzzing, it means it's broken. So,
all right. Talk to us a little bit about the process that you go through.
Right, well, primarily there's a big design time and spend a lot of time thinking over ideas and concepts and drawing and redrawing and then making little wire models and things like that. The neon, the actual making, starts with glass tubing, right, which is industrially sourced. And I have a piece of equipment which is called a ribbon burner, which is a long torch. So basically it's a wall of fire.
Right.
And then I melt the glass, I heat it up and bend it into the shapes that I want.
No, I've seen you do this and you have a pipe in your mouth, don't you, while you're doing this?
Yeah.
Are you blowing air into that?
Well, yeah, because essentially the glass is a tube. So if you're bending a tube, its natural instinct is to fold.
Right.
So with the blow hose, I'm maintaining the pressure of the air inside the tubing because it's important that it keeps uniform and doesn't fold. Because when it's being processed and turned into neon, it goes through quite a tough heating and then vacuuming process.
Right.
And if there's any stresses or if there's any resistance in there, it makes the tube weak.
Right.
And so it's going to have a shorter lifespan if it survives at all.
How easy is it to do this?
It's really hard. It is really hard. Well, because like you've got the glass and you need to manipulate it and stuff, but then you need to know what to do with it afterwards. And so the processing is actually it can be dangerous. It's quite expensive to have the kit to get processed.
Right,
to get filled with neon, because you need 20,000 watts of electricity.
Oh, God.
To clean the glass tube, to get all of the impurities and the water vapour and dust out of the tube so that you can pull the vacuum. And then you backfill with a tiny, tiny bit of inert gas.
You spoke about little wire models, and I can see on your desk here you've got something that look like little pylons. How long does it actually take to get from the process of your idea to it actually being a finished light?
It varies massively.
Right.
The pylons was something that I became aware that I'd been drawing pylons with houses on top for about a year.
Right.
And it was just something I was looking through a sketchbook, kind of looking for something else. And I noticed that these little doodles and these drawings kept cropping up. So I thought, well, there's something going on here. I'm going to kind of maybe look at it a bit more closely. So that is something that's been quite a long process. And sometimes it can take a while for ideas to fully formalise and filter through.
Right.
But once the idea is finished and set, and I've probably spent maybe a week, 2 weeks messing around with scale, proportion, materials, that kind of thing, the actual physical making of the neon is very quick.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do you get this little light tube to actually be a light?
Right, okay. Well, there's three different ways you can get colour in the neon. First is the gas. I tend to use a neon gas, which is naturally red, and an argon, which is naturally blue. My sculptural pieces, which is mostly mixed media, I use transparent glass and rely on the colour of the gas because I like to see the burn of the gas.
Right.
For some of the newer pieces that I've been doing, which are less abstract, I've been using a phosphor-coated tubing. So it's the phosphors that determine the colour. It looks white when it's switched off, but then you switch it on and it goes pink or blue or green or any colour, really.
There seems to be a lot of chemistry involved in this. Has your chemistry knowledge increased?
Yeah, well, I did I did chemistry A level at school,
right?
Because I wanted to be a forensic scientist.
Oh, right.
But was told I didn't have a natural aptitude for science, and so kind of switched alliances, if you like.
Right.
But so I already had kind of very, very basic grounding and understanding of chemistry and physics and things like that. So it's actually serving me quite well now.
Is there a specific shape that you can't do with neon, or is there a particular shape or style that's very easy with neon that perhaps you can't do with any other media?
Well, I'll start with what you can't do, okay. Or what I can't do, or what I won't do, is I don't make work with text that's text-based.
Right.
Because I'm working with a material that is inherently commercial.
Right. So you won't do shopfront signs or anything like that, no?
I have done a couple of commissions.
Right.
But for my own work, I won't use text.
Right.
Because I've spent the past 10 years being an artist developing a visual language of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a series of shapes, forms and materials that I return to because they say something for me that I would like to express.
Right.
So you'll find that squares and cubes are quite a recurring theme, as are circles.
Why squares, cubes and circles?
Well, initially squares because they're very static.
Right.
They're very static shapes. They're not going in one direction or another. So you can manipulate that to create direction.
Mm-hmm.
And movement by how you position them and what you do to the shape. See,
right.
I'm moving my hands kind of to demonstrate, which obviously translates fantastically well.
Yeah, on radio, yeah.
Yeah, and circles for their strength.
Right.
And the continuance.
Why not triangles?
Triangles do appear in the pylons.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean...
So you're branching out.
Yeah, I mean, triangles sometimes appear... Right. But not as frequently as circles or squares. A lot of what inspires my work and which direction it goes in is kind of circumstantial.
What do you think that you can do with neon that you can't do with any other medium? Is it the light, maybe? The attraction of
it? It's definitely the attraction of the light. And there's a big kind of explosion in the use of LEDs at the moment.
Right.
Personally, I don't like the light quality that you get from an LED.
Right.
Also, it's very bitty. You don't get the constant flow. You don't get the feeling of something burning like you do with neon.
Do you ever look at shop fronts and think, that's kind of attractive, or that's really ugly? Or do you just look at them in the same way that the rest of us do?
I look at it the same way as everyone
else. Oh, really?
Else.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so disappointed now. I thought you would say, you know...
Well, actually, I look at it and I go, that's well made, or that's not well made.
Right.
You know, okay. I've seen some shockingly bad neon in shop fronts. I have recently heard that Tesco has just changed all of their signage from neon-backed letters, like backlit letters,
right.
From neon to LEDs, and that doesn't look good.
Oh, right. I'll have to look out for that. Thanks for the tip.
It doesn't have the same intensity of colour. It doesn't have the same light quality.
What are you working on now? Anything?
Doing some more work with the pylons. But other than that, I've got an exhibition coming up in August.
Okay. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, that's at Washington Art Centre in Tyne and Wear.
Right.
And it's with another glassmaker, Phil Vickery. And I'm hoping to make a whole new body of work for that. So we've got quite a nice big space.
Right.
So I'm starting to pull ideas together and start with the research and the drawing for that.
Okay. And in the meantime, if you wanted to see examples of your work or your website?
Okay. My website is sarahblood.com. I currently have work at the Arts Bank in Saltburn.
So you're all over the region then? You're quite well known throughout the region?
Well, actually, that's kind of a recent thing, because although I've been working or practicing for 10 years, most of my work is out of the region. I do quite a few things in America, so...
Are there many other people around working in neon, or is this something that's particularly for you?
Not so many artists working in neon, and certainly not that many making their own neon. As far as I know, I'm the only person in the region.
If artists wanted to get involved in neon, A, would you recommend it, and B, where would you advise people to go looking?
Ooh, right, okay, well, yes, I would recommend it.
Right.
Because I think the more people are doing something, the higher the quality and the more discovery happens. I would say get in touch with me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a great pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
A Garrito presentation.